This morning, as we get ready for our lesson, again, T.J. Bostick will be speaking to us. I'm so excited about the message that he has, as he and I have had a chance to have dialogue over the last few weeks, getting to know him better. He is just passionate about God's Word. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how church works, the operation of what makes a church successful. Leadership, membership, the buy-in, the connection that takes place inside the home, the leadership that happens there. But today I want us to look at the idea of God's Word. The significance of God's Word is important for us. And I pray that today will be a great blessing for you. In John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, it says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have eternal life." TJ, come preach the word.
All right. Good morning, Southport. It's been quite a while since I was able to deliver a lesson to the body here online. Thank you all so much for being here. I know it's a little weird, it's a little stressful for us all right now, but we appreciate that actually the majority of Southport members are able to listen in, whether it's because of their own health reasons or they're concerned about the status of what's going on. But I want to say I appreciate everyone for being here, and I certainly want to say thank you for listening in online. Today I've been asked to talk about deliver a lesson about the importance of reading the Scripture, the importance of staying in the Scripture, of learning it and understanding it. I'm going to start with a little bit, a few statistics. Did you know that 88% of households in America, this is a Christian study done of American Christianity, 88% of us say we own a physical copy of the Bible. The 12%, probably the remaining, will say that they have it digitally downloaded. I would venture to say 100% of Christians own a Bible. So everyone has access to the Bible. Yet, did you know also that less than a third of the Christians report reading the Bible personally every day? 27% of the same people who were asked said they only read it a few times a week. The worst of all, the scariest number, is 1 in 8 of us Christians, 1 of 8 of our brothers and sisters, say they rarely ever, if ever, read the Bible on their own. This study was not talking about dissecting Greek words and prefixes and learning Hebrew. It wasn't talking about that. It was talking about just spending time reading the Bible, which is alarming. This should be alarming to everyone here. It should be alarming to the leaders here. It means that we've missed a fundamental point in discipleship, in raising up Christians, in emphasizing the purpose of the Scriptures. So today I'm going to share 3 points. You'll see red words when they come up for point one, and during each one in your bulletin, you'll have a little blank space. You can fill it out. The words that I believe impact our changes that we need to make in order to view the Scripture properly and to use it. Our first view and our first point that I believe we must change is our understanding and view about the root of Scripture. When I say the root of Scripture, what do I mean? I mean the essence, the nature, where it comes from. When you open the Bible, there are many, many words in there. Whose words are they? Are they just a collection that we happened to cross over some 6,000 years? Or is it just words of intellectual and faithful men throughout time with some decent and good ideas, but outdated? What is it, and whose words are they? That's where we need to start this morning, and that's where I will start. 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21 says that, "But know this, first of all, that No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Peter says that the moved there is actually indicative of the Spirit guiding and actually directing the words that were spoken in the Scriptures. You see, Christians, we make excuses and we find excuses for not reading the Bible. I'm busy. That's one of the most popular ones. I don't understand it. It's complex. I don't have time. It's boring. These are some of the most common reasons Christians have reported why they don't read the Bible. All of which, I believe, come from one disease. Everything else is a symptom of the one disease, and that is we don't believe that the words and the expressions contained in the Bible are God's. This God that we worship, we pray to, we sing to. We don't believe that all of it is His. Only certain parts. But what would Paul say? He says, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 13, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we," that is the apostles, "also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual words with spiritual thoughts." Or further down in the same letter, 14:37 through 38 in 1 Corinthians says, "If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or is spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments." Or perhaps 1 Thessalonians 2:13, as it says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," that is, you heard from the apostles, "you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." Peter testifies to the validity of the inspiration of the Old Testament. Paul says the things which he spoke came from God. Paul said the things which he wrote were from God. But what about the words in red, right? What about the Old Testament prophecies where it is prefaced with, "Thus saith the Lord"? Are those not God's words? Are those not directly God's speaking? And so for the rest, be something else. But let's see what the Scripture defines as the inspiration. When God is not directly quoted, is the Scripture still God's words? Hebrews 1, 5 through 13 shares seven passages of the Old Testament literature, the Hebrew Bible. Out of the seven passages, five are from the Psalms, one is from Deuteronomy, and one is from 2 Samuel. If you had to guess, would you say the majority of direct quotations was God's? Would you say that the quotes from those scriptures are God's in the majority of those seven? Or would you say that they're David's or Moses's? The minority, the three of the seven, are actually direct quotes from God. Four are either David praying or singing or Moses singing. It is not prefaced with, "Thus saith the Lord," "Thus says the Lord," nor, "Go to these people and tell them." However, the author of Hebrews credits one writer, one speaker, through all seven passages. That is, he. That is who he said spoke these things. He being God. So whether it is Jeremiah, or Isaiah, or Amos, or Hosea, or Peter or James or John or Paul, every word and expression of the Scripture is God's actual expression. They are what God wanted us to have. A second point that we must change is our view on the role that Scripture plays and the relevance to our lives. The two most common reasons people don't read the scripture, I believe this point will take care of that, is that we don't understand the scripture and we don't know how to use the scriptures. These two things I hope to combat with this point. If you wish to understand the scripture like anything else, if you wanted to fix your car, you got to realize that the purpose of the car is to actually get you somewhere. So you need to know the function in order to know how to understand how you go about using it. The scripture is the same way. To understand scripture, we must understand what the scripture is about. What is the purpose of the scripture? And the primary purpose, as you heard in our scripture reading this morning, John 5, 39 and 40, thanks Matt, was it is these which testify about me. Luke 24, 25 and 27 says, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. Verse 44 says, now he said to them, that is Jesus, these are my words, which I spoke to you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, they must be fulfilled. The Bible's primary purpose is to testify to the deity and the person of Christ Jesus. The Bible is about Christ Jesus. So if we hope to understand what we're reading, we must first find Him in each section. Secondly, we don't understand what the Bible is about. Commonly, it's misconcepted to think that I can find myself among the disciples that walked with Jesus, or that I can find myself in the story of David and Goliath as I toss a stone. This is wrong. The Bible is actually not about you, and it's not about me. This is the second principle we need to do. We need to confront and understand when, if, and if we ever hope to know how to use the Scriptures. In fact, Paul would say, in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Further down, he says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. As I wrote, that is, we have the mystery written before in brief. By referring to this, that is the mystery, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed now to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 8 through 10 and Ephesians 3, 3 through 5. The Bible is the complete revelation of the mystery of God concerning the redemptive plan for mankind through the one person, Christ Jesus. This Bible, the Scripture, is about Jesus. It withholds the mystery of God's redemptive plan throughout all of history. And so if we seek to understand it, then we need to know that that is what it is about. So how do we use it? That's also the common thing. How do I use it? Do I become a Bible bully? Like I've heard some people say, they've been Bible bullied. Or do I sometimes use it? I don't know how to use it. Paul says, scratch that. That's a good part. We'll go there in a second. It says how to use the scriptures is to fight temptations. First and foremost, I believe that the scriptures are useful for fighting and warding off evil temptation. Matthew 4, 4, 7, and 10 declares the wilderness, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by Satan himself. Three times in that section does Jesus appeal to the authority and the power of scripture when he is tempted. So much power and authority, in fact, does the Scripture have that Satan himself tries quoting the very words of God to God in the flesh in order to tempt into his plan by manipulating the Scriptures. That's found in Matthew 4, verse 6. Paul gives us four practical uses in 2 Timothy 3:16 as he says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. That means it is useful for the following: for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that with the end goal and the use of the Scriptures, the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If you're tempted, appeal to the authority and the power of the Scripture. If you have need to prove or reprove what it is that you believe and why you practice the way you do, appeal to the authority and the power of the Scripture. If you seek, truly desire to attain training in righteousness and instruction in accordance with God's own will and purpose, appeal to the authority and the power of the Scripture. After all, we are trying to figure out how we fully execute the work of the church. This is the way we do that. The third and final point that I believe we must change is our view about our responsibility to respond to the Scriptures. How should a Christian react, and what is the responsibility of the Christian with such an ease of access in the United States to these Scriptures? Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 gives an account of the Hebrew author wanting to teach his audience something. But he says, I've got much to explain, but the people have in fact become dull of hearing. He says, he continues, by this time you ought to be teachers. Finally, in chapter 6, he transitions to the concept of leaving behind elementary doctrines. Let us press on to maturity. Maturity here is the knowledge of God. There is an expectation found here in the letter to the Hebrews, an expectation of growth, to press on toward maturity. Sure, every Christian ought to understand the foundational and fundamental principles of the faith. What is the Trinity? What is baptism? What is laying on of hands? These things are fundamental to the faith. But there's also the responsibility to press on to maturity, says the author of the Hebrews, seeking to further gain knowledge about God. Even Jesus himself stresses the importance of knowing and understanding the Scriptures. Three times in the Gospel of Matthew does he say something along the lines of, but if you had known, or if you understand, or did you not read? Matthew 12:7 says, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's quoting Old Testament, Hosea 6, verse 6. Jesus is appealing to Scripture, to the people who are supposed to know Scripture, because there's two parts to that verse. I desire mercy or compassion and not sacrifice. But Hosea 6 actually ends with, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Jesus is trying to clue them in that these people need to know and gain knowledge of God. Matthew 21:42 says, Jesus said to them, did you never read the Scriptures? Matthew 22:29 says, but Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures nor the power of God. Scripture, power of God, in the same verse, by God in the flesh. There is authority, there is power, and there is a responsibility to us to learn the Scriptures. We must learn the Scriptures in our hearts and our minds. We must understand the Scriptures by embodying what they teach and who they testify to. And we must continue to grow and to share what is found in the Scriptures if we ever hope to fully accomplish the true work of Christ's bride, that is the church. We have the responsibility to learn them. I want to encourage you to read them, to study them, to share them with your family, to share them with a friend, lest we find ourselves being asked on the day of judgment
Did you never read the Scriptures?
I want to encourage you this morning, if you're listening in online, there are ways for you to respond. Matt has let me know to let you all know that the church office hours, he's there. He's got nothing else to do. And he's ready for you to reach out and to grow and to learn and to pray. The elders, if you're here in attendance with us this morning in person, the elder, there will be one at the back prepared to ask you and to help you along the way. I want to encourage you to do that right now as we stand and as we sing. Thank you.